Shalom and welcome to Sem Torah for Parsha Shlach. Our Parsha, of course, deals with the most challenging event, the most challenging episode in the history of the world and in the history of Bnei Yisrael. It's events that impact us still today. Moshe, as we know, sends the Meraglim with very specific instructions. He tells them, "Uritem et ha'aretz mahi." He tells them, "Umah ha'arim asher yoshev bahena, umah ha'aretz hashmena hi imraza, etc. Hayesh ba'etz imayin." He told them to look at the land. He told them to look at the people in Eretz Yisrael. And when they returned, they reported exactly on the things that Moshe asked them about, and they reported truthfully. For example, Moshe asked, "Ve'et ha'am ha'yoshev aleha hechazak hu harafe hame'at hu imrav." Are the people strong or are they weak? And they responded, "Efes ki az ha'am ha'yoshev ba'aretz." Yes, they are strong. Moshe, for example, asks, "Umah ha'aretz asher hu yoshev ba hatovahi imra'a." Is the land good or bad? And they responded, "Banu el ha'aretz asher shalachtanu." So, in short, the Meraglim really reported on exactly what they saw. And yet, they are punished, Bnei Yisrael were punished, an entire generation was punished, and we to this day are nervous and feel the reverberations of this Dibat Haaretz. But the question is really, what they do wrong? They were asked to report, and they reported, and as the Ramban asks the question on Pasuk, on Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Bet, the Ramban says at the end there, "V'chi al menat sheya'idu lo sheker shalachotam?" Understand, Moshe sent them so they would lie? He sent them to tell the truth. They told the truth. So what's the problem? Many Mefarshim deal with this, of course. Rashi, for example, says that when the Meraglim stressed how strong the people living in Canaan were, they were really hinting to, if not saying explicitly, that God himself was weaker than they were. Chas v'shalom. It comes from the Bamidbar Rabba in Parsha Yud Aleph. Rashi says in Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Lamed Aleph, again, Yud Gimel Lamed Aleph, "Kiviyachol klapei ma'ale amaro." They said their statements kiviyachol, against HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Rashi elsewhere at the end of, comparing the end of last week's parsha to the beginning of this week's parsha, that the Torah's juxtaposition of putting the story of the Meraglim immediately after the story of Miriam is there to illustrate to us how important it is to learn from other people's mistakes. Miriam was punished for tzara'at, and the Meraglim should have learned from those mistakes. The Ramban says something a little differently, and so is the Akedat Yitzchak. The Ramban says that they basically went out of their jurisdiction. They were supposed to report, and they did report, but they added. Says the Ramban in Yud Gimel, Pasuk Bet, as we quoted earlier, but a little bit later there, "Aval Risham b'milat Efes, shehi mora al davar Efes v'nimna min ha'adam she'iafshar b'shuminyan." The Ramban says that they were given a job to report, but they moved to become advisors, to be commentators, to develop their own independent opinions. And that was not part of their job. It was not part of their job. Rav Hirsch mentions many sins of the spies, but he points out one in particular, and that is defaming Eretz Yisrael. Rav Hirsch says this on Yud Gimel Lamed Bet. I'm going to read just briefly from what he says. "In this defamation of the land, their sin reached its height. Not via viu, as in the case of the brothers of Joseph, but via tziu, they produced, they fabricated bad news of the land. By that, they completely frightened the people, scared them away from attempting the conquest. Even if they were to succeed, to have to live there would be a misfortune. It is a land, I'm continuing in Rav Hirsch, it is a land that wears down its inhabitants. It is a land that is not designed for people of ordinary size. It demands the constitution of giants. Ordinary people soon become moribund there. That is why the inhabitants have developed into such extraordinary size. Small and weak people do not survive there. And that's the end quote of Rav Hirsch. In sum, Rav Hirsch's critique can be divided into four parts. Number one, they spoke badly about Eretz Yisrael. Number two, they spoke badly about Eretz Yisrael falsely. Number three, they scared Bnei Yisrael away from trying to enter Eretz Yisrael. And number four, they scared Bnei Yisrael away from wanting to live in Eretz Yisrael. Three was scaring Bnei Yisrael away from trying to enter. Four was scaring Bnei Yisrael away from wanting to live in Eretz Yisrael. Rashi elsewhere on Yud Gimel Lamed Gimel says that their problem was, and he quotes a Gemara in Sota, Shamanu omrim zelaze nimalim yesh bikramim ka'anashim. That their problem was, and the Kutzker Rebbe describes this even better. Their problem was that they saw themselves as not only small and insignificant, but they were concerned about how others perceived us. And says the Kutzker a little bit in clarifying Rashi, with the Kadosh Baruch Hu on our side, and with everything we saw in Mitzrayim, and all the miracles that we witnessed, we should not have viewed ourselves that way. And how others perceive us is their problem and not ours. And there's a lot more to say here, but this is Sem Torah, so I'm going to make it a little bit briefer. But I'd like to just offer one last idea, perhaps. And that is that if many Mefarshim, both modern and earlier, have compared Bamidbar Yud Gimel to Yehoshua Bet. Yehoshua is ready to enter Eretz Yisrael, and he does, seemingly, the exact same thing that Moshe does. Moshe sends Meraglim, and it fails. And all of a sudden, Yehoshua sends Meraglim. Why did he do that? And of all people, Yehoshua sends Meraglim, and one of the two Meraglim was Kalev ben Yefuneh. So Yehoshua and Kalev knew more than anybody what a bad idea that was. But the truth of the matter is, if you look at the two cases, the story in Yud Gimel, Bamidbar Yud Gimel and Yehoshua Bet, they're very, very different. So for example, the goals of the mission. The goals of the mission are very different. It happens to be that in Yud Gimel, in Bamidbar, in our Parsha, there's some military component. Uri'item et ha'aretz mahi, et ha'am ha'yoshev aleha, hechazak hu ha'rafeh, ha'me'atu imrav. But there's also some issues or some components of the job that are not related to conquest of the land. U'maha aretz asher yosheva hatovahi imra'a, u'maha aretz hashmeinahi imraza. But if you go to Yehoshua Bet, lechu re'u et ha'aretz v'et yiricho. Go, look, see what the story is there. The way the Meraglim were sent off in our Parsha, very public. Very public by the tribal leaders. In Yehoshua, private. Nobody knew. And we don't even know their names. We know it from Torah Shebaal Peh, but in the Sefer Yehoshua, we don't even know their names. Number three, how many were sent? It wasn't a huge deal, 12 people, the greatest people of each Shevet. Two people, Shnayim Anashim. In our Parsha, Ish Echad L'matei Avotav Tishlachu Kol Nasi Bahem. In our Parsha, Shnayim Anashim. The mission itself, when these Meraglim go into the land, in Sefer Bamidbar, not only do all of Bnei Yisrael know that they're going, but there is not a single hint anywhere in our Parsha that the Meraglim were trying to maintain any secrecy whatsoever. They took fruits. Nobody, they didn't care if anybody saw them. The Anak saw them. But in Yoshua, Vayishlach Yoshua binun minashitim shnayim anashim raglim cheresh. And they're hidden by Rahav. And lastly, the way the information is conveyed back. In our parsha, Vayashuvu mitur haaretz miketzar bayim yom, Vayelchu vayavo el Moshe ve'el Aharon, Ve'el kol adat b'nei Yisrael, V'chulei, Vayashivu otam davar ve'et kol ha'ida. When the information, when the Meraglim in our parsha come back, public. In Yosefer Yehoshua, nobody knew they went, and nobody knew they came back. Take a look at Sefer Yoshua, Perek Bet, Pasuk Bet. Vayashuvu shnei ha'anashim vayerdu mehahar, vayavru, vayavo el Yehoshua binun, vayesapru lo et kol motzot otam, etc. Who'd they go to? They didn't go to the press. They didn't call a press conference. They didn't meet in Yankee Stadium or wherever else with the entire El Kol Adat B'nai Yisrael. They spoke to Yehoshua in his office privately. There's so much to say here. But I do want to focus on one thing, which is one more difference. We keep calling the story in our parsha Meraglim, Meraglim, Meraglim. They're not called Meraglim. They were never called Meraglim. In our parsha, they're called Vayaturu, Latur. It's only in Sefer Yehoshua they're called Meraglim. What is the difference? Rav Elchanan Samet points out that the word Latur, appears only three places in the entire Tanakh, and except for our parsha, where it appears 12 times. A very rare word in all of Sefer, in all of Tanakh, 15 times. 12 of them are in our parsha. Latur, like our modern Hebrew tayar, is to tour, to explore, to scout, to look around, to see what's out there, like a tourist. And that, by the way, appears later in our parsha. In our parsha, one of the three places in all of Tanakh where it appears, aside from by the Meraglim, is in the Tzitzis. Lo taturu acharei levavchem. And you shouldn't, and you shall not seek out, look out, explore, taturu, after your hearts, after your eyes. The connection between the mitzvah of tzitzit and the narrative that preceded it arises not only from their juxtaposition in the parsha, but the sin of the generation is defined as latur in this narrative. And that's exactly what's going to happen, that when Bnei Yisrael are punished, take a look at Yudalid Lamed Gimel. They're going to wander for 40 years. The mitzvah of tzitzit, therefore, hints that the spies sent to seek after the land, but they really sought after their hearts and after their eyes, and they went astray. The mitzvah of tzitzit is a correction of the sin that preceded it, and a protection against it repeating itself. There's much, much more to say here. But the Meraglim in our story are not Meraglim. They're tourists. And I would even say more than that. They're not just tourists. They were like the people who are sent to write the tour books. They're sent by Moshe to get the people excited. The Ramban says this exactly in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Bet. V'yitachen ki Moshe ba'avur shiyada ki hishmeina v'tova. Moshe knew already that the land was fat and good and plentiful. And why did he send them? Kain amar lahem sheitnu lev ladat kain. He sent them so that they'll see it firsthand. Kidei sheyagidu la'am v'yismachu v'yachlifu koach la'alot sham b'simcha. And there's more. The tourists, I won't even call them Meraglim anymore. The tourists were sent to get excited. And I'm going to read a little more in the Ramban. V'alkein tziva otan Moshe lifrot hatova. I'm lifrot. Hatova hi imra'a v'gomer. Hashmeina hi imraza. V'akol, says the Ramban, lisamcham. To get them happy, to get them excited. You're so lucky. Oh my gosh, you're going to Israel. Excited, excited, excited. And yet, the tourists, what we call the Meraglim, the tourists, chose to see something else. Very often in life, when two people see the exact same event, the exact same incident, yet they see it in very different ways. Two people watching a basketball game, one person from San Antonio and one person from Miami, and they're watching the exact same game. And when the game is over, the person from San Antonio is happy. What a great game. Exciting. Amazing. The person from Miami, terrible. It stunk. Ridiculous. What are you talking about? Was it a great game or a terrible game? Are you happy or are you sad? You saw the exact same game. I'm not talking about two different games. Yes, we saw the same game. But we're choosing to look at it differently. The facts, we do not always have the power to change facts. We definitely have the power, sometimes, to affect the future and make sure that good things happen again and bad things don't happen again. But an event that does happen, or a thing that we see, a fact that we experience, cannot be changed. How we see it, and how we react to it, and what we do about it, these are in our power. The Meraglim saw what they saw. There were, in fact, giants in Eretz Canaan. They did see, according to the Medrash, many, many funerals. They did see Yelidei HaAnak. But instead of choosing to see opportunity, instead of choosing to see Hashem's hand in helping them enter Eretz Yisrael, they chose to see pessimism. They chose to see despair. They chose to see defeat. Remember, Yehoshua and Kalev saw the exact same things that the other Meraglim saw. So how is it possible that Yehoshua and Kalev came back and gave different reports? Because Yehoshua and Kalev chose to see the positive. They chose to see Hashem's role in the world. They chose to see every challenge as an opportunity to express their emunah in Hashem in their words and in their actions. May we be zoche to follow in the footsteps of Yehoshua and Kalev and see only positive, only God's hand, only optimism. We can do it. And chas v'shalom, we shouldn't fall into the trap of the Meraglim. Now we can't. Impossible. Be'ezat Hashem, if we do that, we and all of Klal Yisrael will indeed be zocha im yirtza Hashem to the ultimate geula in Eretz Yisrael b'mehirah v'yameinu. Have a Shabbat Shalom.